there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends. I hope you're having a great day, whatever you're doing. And hey, thanks for taking just a short time out from your day and prioritizing the Bible. That means a lot to me, and it just means a lot to all of us that you would take time out of your day to share with us just some time in God's Word. We've been enjoying the book of Joshua. The big theme, for those of you that maybe are just joining us, the big theme for the book has been, don't be afraid to follow God. And that theme really carries throughout the entire book, because fear takes many shapes and sizes, and there are all kinds of things that can cause fear. Sometimes it's external enemies. Sometimes it's the fears that well up within inside of us. And Joshua is a great example of how to deal with that fear. God helped him. He encouraged him. And so here we are, Joshua. And I was thinking about this, Josh. We talked a little bit about this before the podcast began today, this episode. And that is just the changing roles of Joshua. Think about he was a slave.
Yeah, in Egypt. And it's escaping me. How old was he when he became Moses's kind of assistant?
Okay, so he's about 100 here. So let's subtract 45, because they've been 5 years in battling, 40 years in the wilderness. So he would have been, what's that, 55 when he came out of Egypt? Is that possible? Yeah.
Sounds right.
So, I mean, you don't picture it. You don't picture him living most of his life. Joshua lived, if that be true, and he died at 110, which we know, then half of Joshua's life he spent as a slave. And then almost half he spent wandering in the wilderness. Of course, he's learning. He's Moses' servant. He's also becoming a general. Remember, he's fighting when Moses' arms are being held up.
That seems to be his second role, I should say. His first role in the wilderness, his second role in life, slave to a soldier.
Slave, soldier, and then really a general, still a soldier, but more of a commander. And now, as the land has been subdued, not to say that there aren't battles left to fight, but now Joshua is more of an administrator, almost like a Douglas MacArthur after World War II, who some of his great work was the way by which he treated the Japanese with respect, and the way by which the country was rebuilt and how it was organized. And that was as important as anything. And that might not be the exciting work. Think about the presidents of our United States that are famous. That most of the presidents that are famous because of what they faced. So whether it be a Washington, that's a Revolutionary War, or a Lincoln, a Civil War, or an FDR, a World War II. So it just seems like great conflict. It's not that other presidents were not as great, but maybe you didn't see the greatness because their work was more mundane, more administrative, less jazzy.
No one wants to talk about Hoover. Right. They want to talk about FDR. They want to talk about Reagan. They want to talk about those other guys.
Right, exactly. So here's Joshua, and I see in that flexibility. And that's so true in our own lives, that we need to allow the Lord to take us through those reasons and seasons in our life. There are seasons right now, Josh, you're in this season of life. You're a student pastor. No, I mean, maybe he'll have you do that your whole life if he really, really doesn't like you.
If he wants to judge me.
No, but all kidding aside, I was a youth pastor at one time and enjoyed it. I was a Christian school teacher at one time, enjoyed that. I have served in different capacities. But as ministry has evolved over the years, I've had to be flexible to do what only I could do in those seasons. And, you know, God has been sovereign in that process.
And you get yourself in a lot of trouble when you decide that you're not ready to hang it up. You know, Joshua could have been that 100-year-old guy in a wheelchair going to battle because he's like, this is reliving his glory days. But we know what it's like to when you watch sports. You got that old guy that just doesn't know when to quit. And it's apparent, it's like, you need to get off the sideline. You need to go move on to something else.
Was that like a Tom Brady reference or?
Tom Brady's still good.
Okay. Well,
Tom Brady's still looking good.
I don't want to alienate too many of the listeners. So we're going to move right on from that. But I see in Joshua chapter 19, I just see as a prelude thought, Joshua's changing role and his willingness to embrace it. But chapter 19, friends, if you're looking at the Bible or maybe you've read it ahead of the podcast, is one of those chapters that just is the allocation. Remember the spies that went in, the three spies, that the geometry guys that were figuring out the designations. Well, they've come back and now the lot has been cast and now the tribes, those seven tribes that had been tardy, that had been procrastinating, are receiving their inheritance. And it's the tribe of Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and then and later on we'll talk about the Levites. And you see where they're, so Simeon is way south, and then you have the others in their respective places, most of them north. And so if you look at Israel today, like the Sea of Galilee, that area out toward the Mediterranean, north of the Sea of Galilee, that's the tribal divisions here. So what can we learn from that? You know, Josh, as you talk about tribal divisions and where this tribe goes and what they do, you know, what lesson is there in that for you and me?
Well, I think the lesson, and this is definitely a chapter where a lot of us, myself included, is a page turner. You know, either you're reading through and you're just like, all right, tribal allotments, and you flip the page really quick. But as we were talking about it, as we studied before this podcast, you think about the tribal allotments, you think about the circumstances they're placed in, primarily of what they are going to come against as far as in trials. You know, here you got Judah, they're situated right against the Philistines. And you'll see for the next several hundred years, that's going to be a constant battle.
That's going to be their challenge.
That's going to be their challenge. Literally their Goliath, their giants in their life that they're facing.
So there's Asher. So Asher, friends, is that's located along the coast. So any coastal invasion, for instance, by the Phoenicians or others in history, the tribe of Asher, they're going to have to deal with that. But the blessing is they live on the shore. They live on the seaside. They're going to have great opportunity for fishing and trade and all of that. So, and I guess the point being is that it's easy to look at someone else's tribal allotment. It's easy to look at someone else's life and see their blessings. Okay, I could look at Naphtali and say, oh, they have all of that well-watered plain of the Valley of Megiddo, we would say today, the Armageddon. Here's Zebulun or Issachar, and they've got this good, fertile land. And yet, every tribe not only has blessing, but as you pointed out, like about Judah, every tribe also has challenges. And why is it that we, when we look at others, we tend to look at their blessings and then lament that we've not been blessed the same way? Instead of looking at the corresponding challenges and saying, well, I'm glad I don't have that challenge. The point is, get your eyes off the others and look at the land God has given you. Look at the opportunities God has given you. There's something to be done within the scope of your responsibility. Do you think that would be, I mean, that's certainly at least one application we can make.
No, I think that is the main application. And to your point, as you're saying, look into other people, that's easily translated into our own lives. We can easily look at someone else's position in a company or their career choice and think of the glamorous things associated with that career, but we're not in the day-to-day and we don't see those challenges and those trials that they go through. So again, like you said, we need to look to our own path and what God has given us.
And we don't do it so much today based upon, you know, tribal allocations. We don't even use those words. But in the New Testament, you know, the Apostle Paul referenced this exact same thing when he said, hey, when we measure ourselves by ourselves, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. And the way by which the Corinthians were doing that is they were comparing talent. This person is a better speaker than this person, or influence or popularity. And that really rings true in so many of the circles that I've been in my life, where people are jealous of others because of the God-given resources. Remember, these are God's allocations. Nobody earned this. It was Ephraim was not better, or Manasseh better, that they received a bigger. It's just, this is the way God decided to do it. And instead of looking what God did in someone else's life, just look at the borders God has given you and make the best of it. Anyway, that's my takeaway. But what I really wanted to talk about at the, because we're already getting to the end of this podcast and I can't believe how quickly it goes. But at the end of chapter 19, there is one of the greatest lessons in the Bible on humility. Because there's one, not tribe, but person that hasn't received a possession yet. And who's that?
That'd be Joshua.
Joshua himself.
And it's a beautiful typology of Christ. You know, here's Joshua, the leader. If anyone should have been given a plot of land, if anyone should have gotten... A prime plot, right, exactly. The guy that could have, the tribes taking a map and saying, you know, Joshua, you know, pick your spot. It obviously should have been Joshua. Yet, Joshua had all this power. Joshua had all this influence, and yet he used it to bless others. And he let himself become, take the last pick.
I find a couple interesting things about it, listeners. I'm reading Joshua 19:49. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked. It's interesting. Joshua made a request, and when you study it, and I would encourage you listeners to do this, when you study it, Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. So Joshua was an Ephraimite. He said, okay, I'm going to live among my people. I'm not going to ask for special treatment. He could have gone to one of the more scenic tribal areas, but he said, I'm going to be with my people. And he chose a city that is rocky. It's not good for agriculture. It would take quite a bit to make it habitable. So Joshua said, I'm not going to choose the best spot. I'm going to choose a hard spot and my own place. I'm going to be a great example. It's almost like the Old Testament example of, I'll be the one that washes the feet. I'll be the one that takes the servant role. I'll be the one that, hey, you have the big piece of pie. You first. You take the higher seat. All the principles, which I think you pointed out well, all the principles that are Joshua, because Joshua is the Old Testament name for Jesus, that our Joshua, Jesus, taught us in the Gospels about humility, about look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see a great example of all of that in the person of Joshua. And so, you know, one of those chapters where this tribe, that place, I can't pronounce this. And yet when you look at it just a little bit below the surface, you see all those wonderful gems that only the Bible contains. So listeners, thanks for tuning in again. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. I want us all today, if we can, just to ask the Lord to give us a little bit of that Joshua spirit. It's not about me. It's about how God can use me to bless the lives of others. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.